Matthew Collar, our good friend, Purple Insider, joins us this morning. Matthew, I want to start with, good morning, by the way, joining us in the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. I want to start with the news, the big news of Stephon Gilmore. Your immediate reaction when you heard about this morning was?
I was not very surprised. I knew that from what I had heard that they really wanted Stephon Gilmore and that their offer was significantly higher than any other team for him. And then after I was in Cleveland for 2 days watching joint practices and watching the Vikings defense absolutely maul the Cleveland Browns offense over and over and over again in practice, I thought maybe they'll even up that offer a little bit more for Stephon Gilmore because this defense is truly, you know, a good cornerback play away from being a top 10 type of defense. And with Brian Flores, you know, being able to get some more talent in here, Andrew Van Ginkle, Blake Cashman, the way they've developed some players, Ivan Pace has looked really good so far in training camp. They've got a little more depth up front at the edge rusher and on the interior of the defensive line, but really just that one spot. And Byron Murphy is a solid NFL corner. It's the other outside spots a little in question with Shaq Griffin not practicing at all since the second day of training camp. So I thought, you know, this team probably realizes if it's going to compete for the playoffs, it has to do it a little more with defense than it has in some previous seasons. And Stephon Gilmore, his last three seasons of play, I know he's older, but his last three seasons of play have all been above average. He's played 2,000 snaps the last two seasons, so he's really aged well for a cornerback, and they must believe that it's still there with Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah, it's a little bit surprising, the amount of money. Do you think that I understand what you're saying completely, but did we need to overpay probably the rest of the league to the levels that we did, or was that not ever a worry?
Well, I think they did need to overpay because when you think about a player of Stephon Gilmore's stature, defensive MVP, he's been around for a long time, and he's been very good the last few seasons. I think, you know, there's probably other teams that are thought of as a little more Super Bowl contenders than the Vikings that put in smaller offers for him that don't necessarily need him but wouldn't mind having him. The Vikings are more in a position of needing him based on what they have in the secondary. And he really doesn't have to. At his age, he's made enough money in his career. He could just say, yeah, you know, whatever. Or I'll go ring chasing and try to sign with Kansas City or something. But why it doesn't really matter is because the Vikings have a lot of cap space that they're not going to use after this. And it's a one-year contract. So you give him his $10 million bucks now, and then he becomes a free agent at the end of the year. It has no impact whatsoever on the long term. And they had this cap space. We're about to start the season, so it's not like they were going to make seven more signings. They just used available cap space that they had, and the way that they've set up their cap over the last two off seasons was another thing that allowed them to be able to do this. Because before, you know, the last few seasons when Kirk was here, they were scraping the bottom of the barrel. How can we make an extra $2 million to sign somebody? So now they're in a little better shape there, and they're able to bring in someone who recently has been a very, very good player.
Matthew Collar joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Matt, this to me, this signals at least that we understand the front office feels like this team can be very competitive in 2024, despite the fact that they lost their rookie quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, this week. To me, in my mind, I was like, okay, this is a bummer for him, but I never felt, and I've said this all along, I felt like from the beginning of the season, this is going to be Sam Darnold's job, and he was going to have to lose it some way at some point. Does the fact that J.J. McCarthy is out of the mix now, does it change everything for this front office, or do you get the feeling like, okay, it's that they feel like, okay, this is kind of a blip, but he's going to be okay, and we were looking at him for the future anyway?
Yeah, I mean, as far as it relates to Stephon Gilmore, just timeline-wise, they already had made an offer to him before J.J. McCarthy was known to be out for the season. So they were already thinking that they should be competitive. And the owners of this team have been extremely clear. Every time Mark Wilf has talked to us, he said, this is not a rebuild type of thing. We want this team to compete for the division. They know the division's tough, but the expectation is to make the playoffs. even if, you know, the Vegas odds don't think that that's going to happen for this team. But, you know, I think that what J.J. McCarthy provided was a button to push for Kevin O'Connell, where, all right, season's kind of going bad with Sam Darnold. Let's get J.J. McCarthy in there and, you know, bring that excitement that goes along with it. And then if he looks pretty good, which I think he would have through the end of the season, then you can always point to that, regardless of what your record is, and say, we're on our way, trust us, give it time, all those things. And, of course, you know, keep the fan base excited to see J.J. McCarthy and everything else. Now that is off the table, and you're just riding the Sam Darnold roller coaster. And that it does, I think it does add a little bit more pressure, because you don't have this thing where you can always say, but the future, am I right? Now, I think McCarthy having that great game before he got injured was still very helpful, because Minnesota got to see what J.J. McCarthy had been doing in practice over and over again on a daily basis, and why the Vikings are comfortable calling him their franchise future quarterback. But at the same time, like that as a coach, you want to have that extra thing, and now you just really don't. You just have to ride Sam Darnold. And when I saw him practicing against the Browns, we saw the ups and downs that you would have expected for Sam Darnold for his entire career. Some really great throws and some unexplainable interceptions. And I know the Browns have a really good defense, but it's going to be a little bit different, I think, than watching Kirk Cousins in previous years.
So real quick, Matt, I know we're getting up against the time frame, but I'm just really curious, as far as you're there every day, you see these guys, you understand the team very well. Who stands out for you? Is there anybody or any couple of guys that you say, you know what, this guy has made the next step, and it's going to be really fun to watch him this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think like you're probably kind of pointing a little more toward younger players who are improving. I mentioned Ivan Pace. I've noticed that. But as far as what's really popped out to me, you know, that number 18 is pretty good. You should get a jersey of his. But what has really stood out to me in particular is the edge rushers, just the entire unit. I think that unit might be one of the best in the entire NFL. Jihad Ward is a guy who I'm interested to see if he makes the team. But Patrick Jones has looked improved from last season in maybe a new role. But Dallas Turner has stood out a ton throughout this entire thing. And Andrew Van Ginkle and Jonathan Grenard, those guys were not on the marquee because they drafted a quarterback this offseason, but those were two huge signings for them. Mm-hmm. And they were wreaking havoc in Cleveland. They've been causing problems for the Vikings offense throughout training camp. And I think that having that be much deeper than it was before is all respect to Danielle Hunter, but Danielle was asked to do everything all the time. Mm-hmm. Now they have a bunch of guys that they can mix and match at that position that could make them a lot better in terms of a overall pass rush versus what they were last year.
I'm not stealing Pete's question, his take, but I want to borrow it. He talked earlier about Lewis Cine and what he did yesterday. He had a much better game, probably one of his best games, I think, that we've seen him play despite the injury. Does one game do enough to move him up far enough on the depth chart to make the cut, or do you still think when the preseason ends he's on the outside of the bubble?
Yeah, I don't believe that that's going to put him on the team. I mean, maybe it's possible because Kwesi Adofo-Mensah drafted him. He wants to try that one more time, but there hasn't really been any feeling that he's making progress in practice. We've seen him get, you know, a ton of reps, but anytime I think they want to give him every opportunity because he's gotten a ton of reps, but it's all been with the second team, nothing with the first team. And when a guy is getting a sack in the fourth quarter of a preseason game that the coach does not care about, he cared about the joint practices. I think it tells you where that player stands. And, you know, a tipped interception, a sack where no one blocks you, I'm not really sure that these things are enough to move the needle with Lewis Cine. But it is funny because they have one of the best safety units in the entire NFL. He's just probably not going to be included in it.
Matthew Coller, Purple Insider. Thanks, buddy. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks, Matthew.
Yep, you too, guys.
Thanks, Matthew Coller. Good insight.